All right, welcome. My name is Divine. This is episode 315 of the Divine Intervention Life Lessons podcast. In today's podcast, we're going to be continuing the series on the church in Philadelphia. Let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. And we pray, Lord, that may you please have mercy on us and forgive us of all our sins. I pray that may your spirit come and speak to us this morning. May your word come forth with power and authority and may be confirmed by miracles, signs, and wonders. Please, Lord, prepare our hearts to receive your truth and give us the grace to change and respond in faith to your word. It's in your mighty name we pray. Amen. So, if you've been following this series, you know that we've been talking about the church in Philadelphia. We said that this was one of the churches in the book of Revelation that did not have any cons. The Lord was completely pleased with this church. And thus far, we've been kind of discussed a couple of things. Again, if you missed the first two parts of the series, I would strongly encourage you to go back and listen to it. So far, we've talked about, a few things, right? So, for example, we talked about what an open door actually means, and especially from a biblical perspective. And we talked about what you should do when the Lord opens a door before you. And then we talked about what having a little strength means. And we said that, again, it's not the number of resources you have that matters. It's the God that you serve, right? So far, we've been using Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 to 13. But let's kind of pick up from there. We've kind of done verse 7. We've done a little verse 8. So let's kind of pick up from verse 8 and go through what the Lord has for us, right? So if we look at verse 8, it says, Revelation 3, 7 to 13. I'm reading from the New King James Version. Verse 8 says, "I know your works. See, I've set before you an open door." We've talked about that. "And no one can shut it, for you have a little strength, have kept my word, and have not denied my name." Right? So last week, we kind of ended on this point that, hey, if the Lord opens a door for you, what are you supposed to do? Well, you're supposed to walk through it. But again, as you walk through that door, what exactly does God want from you? See, literally, all God wants from you is your faithfulness. That's it. And that's one thing about this church. This church in Philadelphia was very well resourced in faithfulness, right? There are many individuals, many churches, they are well resourced in goods, but very poorly resourced in faithfulness, right? So it kind of begs the question, what is faithfulness? Well, faithfulness is let me give you a simple definition. It's pretty much believing in and obeying the word of God. That's it. Believing in and obeying the word of God. Whether you like it or not, believing in and obeying the word of God. That's faithfulness. Because the thing is, when you're unfaithful, you will not have many open doors. You won't. The thing is, the Bible, God really loves when people practice good stewardship, right? If you look at Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, Matthew 25, verses 14 to 30, it talks about the parable of the talents. The person that got 5 talents, person that got 2 talents, those people were faithful. And because they were faithful, more doors were open to them. Right? Faithfulness is literally a trigger for open doors, right? It's a trigger for open doors, right? So when you are faithful with the small God gives you, he will open doors to bigger things, right? Joseph, the person, the son of Jacob that was sold into slavery in the land of Egypt, right? He's a perfect illustration of this principle. He started off with small, but he was very faithful. The Lord was with him. He was very faithful. And he grew into bigger and better things. Right? And the thing is, faithfulness requires faith, right? Like literally it's baked into the word faithfulness. You're full of faith, right? If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, right? It says, without faith, it is impossible to please God. It's literally impossible, right? He that comes to God must believe that he exists and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him, right? So that faithfulness, it requires faith, obeying God, believing in his word, doing his will, even when you're not feeling it. That's faith. That's faithfulness. And when you do that, you will be richly rewarded. It's just a matter of time, right? It's just a matter of time, right? I'm telling you this. Faithfulness is a trigger for open doors. Faithfulness is a trigger for open doors. I have seen this principle play out time and time again in my life. I can give you so many personal stories of how the Lord has helped me in the arena of faithfulness. You know, being faithful and the Lord really prospered me. Right? Being faithful, the Lord really prospered me, right? So just something to keep in mind. Faithfulness is really helpful. In fact, let's look at the book of Joshua chapter 3, verses 9 to 13. Joshua 3, verses 9 to 13, right? You know, he says, so Joshua said to the children of Israel, come here and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, by this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will without fail drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over before you into the Jordan. Now therefore, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from every tribe. And it shall come to pass as soon as the soles of the feet of the priests who bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of the Jordan, that the waters of the Jordan shall be cut off, the waters that come down from upstream, and it shall stand as a heap. Right? So these people, God gave them an instruction. They just had to be faithful and obey. God was going to open a door for them, but they had to take that step of faith. They had to put their legs and their feet in the water. The Bible says, hey, take that step of faith, and then the waters will part. The waters will part, right? So set foot in the water, and the doors will open. Take that step of faith, right? Again, faithfulness leads to more opportunities. Now, let's go back to verse 9 of this Revelation chapter 3, right? Let's look at verse 9. He says, indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan, who say they are Jews and are not but lie, indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet, and to know that I have loved you, right? So what exactly does the Bible mean by this synagogue of Satan? Well, basically, it represents some sort of opposition, right? Because this is one thing many people do not realize, but behind every opportunity lies some degree of opposition, right? But the thing is, God will not open a door to you if he has not already made a provision to deal with that opposition, right? Let's look at the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 8 and 9. 1 Corinthians 16, verses 8 and 9. It says, but I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me. A great and effective door has opened to me. And there are many adversaries, right? There are many adversaries, right? So the fact that an open door exists does not mean there's not going to be adversaries behind that door, right? You see, some people, they actually miss out on opportunities because they focus hard on the opposition. And they fail to look at the God that gave the opportunity, right? The promised land was an open door for the Israelites, but 10 of the 12 spies, they only saw issues, right? The thing you need to keep in mind is that you need to learn to persevere through opposition as you walk through open doors. God will open doors for you. There will be opposition behind those open doors, but persevere through them, right? God will not be opening a door to you if he wanted you to lose. You're already a winner. Right? You're already a winner, right? So learn to persevere through opposition as you walk through these open doors. You know, there's this part of the Bible that says through many tribulations. I think it's in the book of Acts. We must enter the kingdom of God, right? The Bible even talks about enter by the narrow gate, you know, for broad is the way and wide is the road that leads to destruction. There's many people that take it, but narrow is the gate and difficult is the way that leads to life, right? So going into eternal life, it's a difficult road. It's like an open door, but it's narrow and it's tough, right? But you need to persevere through opposition, right? Because really all the devil wants to do is to pretty much just wear down your resolve so that you give up. Wear down your resolve so you give up, right? Because the devil recognizes that if you walk through that door, you literally move to a different level in your walk with God, right? And the thing is, I've noticed this actually many times, the biggest breakthroughs, they come with the biggest challenges. The biggest breakthroughs, they come with the biggest challenges. So learn to persevere. Learn to persevere through opposition. The Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, Matthew 24, verse 13, he that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. He that endures to the end, the same shall be saved. Right? If you even look at the book of Genesis chapter 26, Genesis chapter 26, I'm going to read it in part. Let's read verses 1 to 3. Right? He says, there was a famine in the land, besides the first famine that was in the days of Abraham, and Isaac went to Abimelech, king of the Philistines, in Gerar. Then the Lord appeared to him and said, do not go down to Egypt. Live in the land of which I shall tell you. Dwell in this land, and I will be with you and bless you. For to you and your descendants I give all these lands, and I will perform the oath which I swore to Abraham your father. So guess what? There was famine in the land. Thank God Isaac did not make the same mistake as Abraham to go down to the land of Egypt. Let's actually look at the book of same Genesis 26, but let's read from 16 to 22, right? It says, and Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. And let me give you a preface, right? So Isaac actually did, if you look at verse 12 of this Genesis 26, this land where there was famine, Isaac actually did so in that land, and he reaped 100-fold returns, right? But let's look at from verse 16 of Genesis 26. It says, "And Abimelech said to Isaac, go away from us, for you are much mightier than we. Then Isaac departed from there and pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar and dwelt there. And Isaac dug again the wells of water, which they had dug in the days of Abraham his father, for the Philistines had stopped them up after the death of Abraham. He called them by the names which his father had called them. And Isaac's servants dug in the valley and found a well of running water there. But the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdsmen, saying, the water is ours. So he called the name of the well Esek, because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well, and they quarreled over that one also. So he called its name Setna. And he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it. So he called its name Rehoboth, because he said, for now the Lord has made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land." Right? We shall be fruitful in the land. Right? Literally, in this land of famine, all this fighting from the men of Gerar, opposition and everything, that was literally where Isaac's blessing was. Right? That was where Isaac's blessing was. But if you had looked at it, because some people look at opposition as an indication that the Lord is not with them, as an indication that, you know what, this is probably not the Lord's will for my life. Right? There was a time last year where I was facing so much opposition. I was like, wow, am I sure this is God's will for my life? But thank God I stayed, right? Thank God I stayed. Because in that opposition, I could see that, wow. Like in retrospect, now I see that, wow, this was God's plan. And the devil was just trying to get me out of the will of God, right? So when God sets an open door, just remain faithful and keep persevering. That's literally your job, right? Because last time we met, I said, hey, what is God's expectation from you when a door is open, right? Literally, remain faithful, keep persevering, right? Remain faithful, keep persevering. That's what you need to do. Literally, look at what God said in verse 10 of this Revelation chapter 3. Look at what he says in verse 10. He says, because you have kept my command to persevere, I will also keep you from the hour of trial, which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. Right? He says, because you have kept my command to persevere. Right? So literally persevere. Right? Again, I've quoted the scripture on the narrow gate. You can find that in Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14. Matthew 7, verses 13 to 14. Right? But again, what gate are you supposed to walk through? The narrow gate. It's not an easy gate to traverse. There's lots of opposition, but it's literally the way that leads to life, right? The broad gate that agrees with your flesh, where you don't have to fight any battles, where you don't have to face any opposition, it leads to destruction. But you see, many people, they take that route. Right? Again, to really buttress this point, let's look at Acts chapter 14, verses 22 to 23. Acts 14, verses 22 to 23, right? It says, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, look at this, I've quoted this already in this podcast. We must through many tribulations, not a few, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord in whom they had believed. Right? Tough times will come, but you need to persevere. Right? Entering the kingdom of God requires a lot of perseverance. But the thing is, God actually gives a promise. I don't want to neglect this in verse 9. You know, he talks about the synagogue of Satan. You know, they say they are Jews, but they are not, but they lie. He says, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. Remember the brothers of Joseph, right? They persecuted him hard, right? But Joseph kept persevering, kept remaining faithful to God. He did not sin against God. And what happened? Those brothers that persecuted him, that vilified him, they actually did come and bow before him in the end, right? If you read the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis, they really did come and bow before him in the end, right? So, if you, just as we kind of wrap up this series on this church, right? Verses 10, I've talked about verse 10. Let me read verses 11 and 12 again. It says, behold, I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. I will write on him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God, and I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Right? So God is encouraging you, hold fast. I believe this portion of scripture is referring to the pre-tribulation rapture, right? The pre-tribulation rapture. There is a reward for faithfulness. God does not forget your labor of love, right? Don't lose your crown. Keep remaining faithful. Keep persevering. And you're not doing this in your own strength. The Lord will help you, right? The Lord will help you. Remain unshakable, right? The devil will try to weaken your resolve. Don't lose hope. Don't give up. Don't throw in the towel, right? And if you've not surrendered your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not going to try to extract some commitment from you. I really encourage you to listen to episodes 254 and 287 on the website, 254, 287, the Salvation Podcasts. They explain to you why you need a Savior. And then at the end of 254, there is an opportunity for you to surrender your life to the Lord. So let us pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word we've heard this morning. Lord, please give us the grace to be doers of your word and not hearers alone, deceiving ourselves. Give us the grace to remain faithful. Give us the grace to persevere. Help us by your Holy Spirit to just keep doing your will, whether we like it or we don't like it, whether we're feeling it or we don't feel it. You know, give us the grace not to throw in the towel on our salvation. As your word says, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. Father, we must enter by your grace and by your mercy and by the help of your Spirit. So give us the grace through these tribulations to enter into your kingdom, into your blessed kingdom. And Father, I just pray that you have your way in everything we do today and give us the grace to draw closer to you. And Father, I pray that those that surrender your life to you, I pray, Lord, that you please strengthen them and give them the grace to keep on keeping on. Thank you, Heavenly Father. It's in your mighty name I pray. Amen. And for those that give their, you know, if you do decide to surrender your life to the Lord, when you're done with 254 and 287, I'll encourage you to listen to episodes 96 to 101 on the website, 96 to 101. It's titled The 5 Basic Responsibilities of a Believer. It will tell you specific things you can do so you can grow your walk with the Lord. So thank you for listening to me today. I will see you in episode 316. Have a wonderful day. God bless you. Bye for now. Shalom.